We come to a meal. This is something we do every week. And there's a funny phenomenon in our culture surrounding meals, contests surrounding meals. There are these contests you've heard of. Maybe you've entered. Maybe some of you have even won. These contests where if you win the contest, you get to have dinner with the famous person who's advertised in the contest. If you're selected and you win, you get to eat dinner with this famous person. Maybe it's a famous person who is musical. They make musical sounds by twanging on strings or pushing buttons or verbalizing into a microphone. Or maybe if you're selected, you get to have dinner with this famous person who puts on costumes, has blobs of makeup put onto their face, and they act like action heroes, action heroines. Haven't all of us spent at least a few minutes daydreaming about what we would ask, what we would say if we were selected to have a meal with a notable person? When you think about it, haven't you also mused about how personal and even awkward it would be to have an entire meal with this exalted person? It's one thing to get in a line, maybe, and get an autograph, ask one question, take one picture with a famous person. It's another thing to have an entire meal. I guarantee you, if you sit through an entire meal with someone, by the end of that meal, you can tell if that person has any interest in you personally, any care to actually know you, the non-notable person, the non-famous person. And you can tell by the end of that meal whether there is any desire to be with you again for another time together, another meal together. In this supper, a notable and a famous person invites you to a meal. And after this meal, that person takes personal interest in you and wants to meet with you again for another meal. He wants to get close to you week by week, day by day. He desires to be close to you, his new friend, his new brother, his new sister, because he loves you. And I dare say, he also likes you. The bread that we take in this supper represents the body of Jesus. He gave himself. He gave himself for you. He gave everything, everything that he had in this life. For those of us who were nothing and had nothing except our sin and our failure. And the wine represents the blood of Jesus Christ. Someone had to pay for the terrible things that we do. Someone had to clean up our mess. Jesus died for us, and by his blood we're cleansed. So as we eat and drink, we remember Jesus. We remember his death for us, and we're assured of his love for us. As you feed on the bread and the wine, and as you believe that I need Jesus this way, as you believe that, the Holy Spirit makes this meal a spiritual meal. The new life in Christ is getting nourished by the bread, by the wine. We do not fully understand it, but we believe it. So if you've come to know God the Father and Jesus Christ, his Son, and if you're a member in good standing of a gospel-believing church, you're invited to take the supper. If you're here, but you're not a Christian, we are very thankful that you're here. And we invite you to keep being here with us. And we would love to answer any questions that you have about what we're doing, What do we believe? What do we not believe? But if you're not a Christian, we do warn you not to take the supper. It actually means something. It would harm you. It wouldn't be helpful for you. But we would invite you to ask us more about it. Now, as we approach the table, let's pray together. Lord, we come before you, and we join you at this table. We thank you. We thank you for Christ. We declare that he died for us. We declare that he is coming again, and we eat and drink, looking forward to that day. We pray, Lord, that you would make the bread and the wine that we take to do us good, to be effectual, for Jesus' sake. By the power of his Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.